Amen. I'm reading to you from the book of Luke, chapter 16 and verse 19. The book of Luke, chapter 16 and verse 19. I know that I have what the Holy Ghost gave me. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday that this message took hold of my heart. I did not know then that there would be a funeral here on Tuesday of this coming week. But this really fits the hour and the occasion. This dear woman would be somewhat likened to Lazarus in this story because her life was not easy. Not easy at all. I mean, many burdens she bore. Many burdens she carried, but I believe she made it in, and the angels have borne her across the great divide. Listen now in Luke 16:19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Notice that word torments has an S. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, betwixt us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Father, don't let a person in this building miss hearing the word of God this morning. You know exactly what is needed. If there's a soul in this building that is shaky about their salvation, maybe they are even lost, Father, I pray for them that you would get a hold of them and not let them leave here and go to hell. Don't let them leave here without being converted. Let conviction, Holy Ghost conviction, descend on this place right now. Right now. Don't let nobody in this building miss feeling the Holy Ghost conviction right now. Would you raise your hand and ask God to do that right now? That conviction, conviction, conviction will fill any heart that's unprepared, unprepared. And Father, don't just let conviction fill the heart of the unprepared, but let fear and apprehension fill all of us so that we serve the Lord with fear, as the Bible said, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. You know, the reason that God gave us wonderful truths like this in this great text is because the only way to really serve God is to have the fear of God. If you have no fear of God, that means you're very shaky in your faith. And you might just turn aside with the least little temptation if you have no fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible said. Everybody understand that? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Now, we're not talking about the fear like you would have of a lion or a bear that was near and attacked in you. We're talking about the fear of reverence, the fear of respect, the fear of deep, deep sense of the awe and the majesty and the holiness of God. And that sense that you know that you are nothing and that He is everything and that you are helpless without Him. The real fear of God will give you a sense of dependency, a sense of reliance, a sense of deep reverence, a sense of deep obedience. The real fear of God is a marvelous attribute of a real Christian, a real believer. Now, I want to talk about three or four things, and I'm trying to try not to be too long, but I want you to understand what the whole business of a human being and the soul of a person represents. I want you to get a new feeling of what and who you are. I want you to get a new feeling of respect for yourself. You will never respect God highly if you don't respect who you are as an individual. I really believe that. I believe the greatest thing a mother and dad ever teach their children is respect for themselves. Oh, not just respect for themselves, but respect for who they are and what they are and what life represents. So I want you to have that feeling of who you are. This story makes it very plain and very clear that human lives are extremely important. And then I want to deal a minute with eternity. I want you to know that a man, woman, created in the image of God cannot be less than eternal. You will spend eternity somewhere. You will spend eternity somewhere. You're not just a passing shadow. You're not just a passing person on the stream of life. You're not just here for a little while and then all is going to vanish and you're going to move into nothingness to spend eternity in nothingness and no consciousness and no awareness. That just does not exist in the human frame. God made you in His likeness, in His image, and you are somebody. I want you to say with me, I am somebody. Everybody say it. I am somebody. You young people back there, I am somebody. You are somebody. You are somebody special. You are a wonderful, handsome looking little group. I'm here to tell you, you are. You really are beautiful young ladies, handsome young men. That's a beautiful thing. That's not something to be despised or something to be trivialized or treated lightly. It's something of grave importance because you are an eternal soul. You'll be somewhere 10 million years from now. I like the old song, "Will You Be Happy?" Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be singing? Will you be happy? Well, I'm going to tell you some things about this torments that really kind of shook me up this morning. I sat down and I said, I need to write down everything that might be part of the torments. And it started coming to me. I'm telling you, I knew it was the Holy Ghost. I knew my brain wasn't that big. But the Holy Ghost is. And He said, I am to preach as the oracles of God. I am to preach as of the ability that God giveth me. I'm not up here to preach the wisdom of Joe Chambers. It wouldn't be worth listening to. But I'm here to tell you what God says. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. Now, I want to go back and talk a minute about who we are. Who we are. We live in a day of evolution, humanism, atheism, agnosticism, and there's many names out there for all of this great intellect that our world has come to know and to believe in. Colleges and universities are so stripped of anything that has to do with God, unless it's a generic God with no name, and it's sick, it's sad. One great man said many years ago, education without God is the gates of hell. And you can depend on that. Education without God is the gates of hell. When you get smart but you don't know God, you'll be too smart for your own good. There's nothing worse than an educated idiot. There's nothing worse than an educated fool who's lost the way and don't want to know the way because they're so smart and they're so big. I want to tell you something. You are very smart and you have a brain. They tell me that most of us have never used over 10% of our brain. That there's such capacity and such mental ability up there in this noggin of yours. I'm telling you, you're smarter than any computer that ever existed. You can buy the best computer they've got, and in 5 years it's obsolete. And I've got a brain that's 78 years old and it's still not obsolete. It still can learn and grasp and even remember. Oh, come on, listen to me now. I'm here to tell you, somebody, you're not just nothing, you're somebody, and you better come to be aware of it. You better know that you're not just a dog walking down the street. You're not just an animal passing through the passages of life. You're somebody, and you're going to spend eternity somewhere. Somebody help me preach, will you? How many of you believe in eternity? Let me see your hand. Raise it way up high. You believe in eternity? Oh, I want to tell you, I want you young people to really feel this. You know, I was raised on a tobacco farm. My dad was an alcoholic. And I didn't have any sense of who I was and what I was. And I'm so grateful that God found me, a 16-year-old lad, and saved me and instilled into me some sense of something of value. It took me a while, a few years. It took Sister Chambers a while and a few years to help me because she'd been raised in a very different atmosphere than I had. And I had a time coming to understand, but thank God he brought me to the place that I know the value of a human life. I know the value of a human ability. I know the value of how you can learn and how you can be somebody, and you don't have to just be the crumb of the earth. You can be somebody with value and with meaning and with purpose. And I'm here to instill that in you. You say, that's not part of a sermon like this. Oh, yes, it is. If you understand a sermon like this, it really does have a lot to do with what man represents, what he is. Oh, it does. Oh, it does. Now, eternity. Do you realize how long eternity is? Have you ever sat down and took a calculator and started multiplying 10,000 times 10,000? I mean, just try it. Just sit down and take a calculator and try to multiply some numbers and see how big you can get that calculator to go. You know, the calculator has a maximum. I don't know what hours are. I've never tried to find out. But I can tell you this, a calculator has a maximum. And I can also tell you that the maximum is far below the debt of America right now. And forgive me for adding that in. But I want to tell you something, friend. Eternity is a long time. You better understand eternity is a long time. And when you've been there 10 million years, you've just begun. I think so, Corey. Raise your hand with me a minute, will you? Audrey Clay Shutterman. I want you to get this. I really want you to get this. When I think about hell, and I think about a place of torment, I should say torments, and I think about spending eternity in a place of nothing but absolute misery and torment, and then being there and knowing that there's never an end, that 10 million times 10 million and eternity has only begun. I'm here to tell you, if you don't cringe, if you don't shiver, if you don't shake, if it doesn't trouble you to think of spending eternity in a lake of fire, I pray to God that you'll wake up. We've got to understand that eternity is eternity. It just simply means no ending. Forever. And ever and ever. And the Bible is so full of it. It is over and over that it talks about forever. It's over and over that it uses the word eternity. I should have looked up the word eternity, everlasting, to see how many times those words was in our King James Bible. But I can tell you it'll be a big one. It'll be a big one. Eternity is a long time, and I want you to feel that this morning. And I want you to understand that you, as an eternal soul of wonderful value, of heavenly worth, of God-given personality, of God-given eternity, that you will be somewhere, and you must understand that eternity is somewhere you will be forever. If I had to say any more, I shouldn't have to say it. If I knew I wasn't right with God, and I knew that eternity was eternity, I think I'd get out of that seat and run down those aisles and say, I got to be saved. Holy Capri, the Son Trouble, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now look at this story. Look at this wonderful story that Jesus told. Did you hear me? How many heard me? You say, does that make it any better? No, don't make it any more than the rest of the Bible. It just adds a little emphasis that I think we should hear. Jesus told us about a rich man, didn't give him a name, and about a poor man, and he gave him a name. Now, let me first start right there. How many of you understand why the rich man didn't have a name, and the poor man did? Because the rich man went to hell. And when you go to hell, you are a no-name soul. From the moment you go to hell, you have no personal identity. You give that up when you follow the devil and judgment comes and you're cast into hell. Your name is forgotten. Your name is forgotten. So the rich man is given no name because he's passed off the scene of history as far as names are concerned. He's still a soul. He's still conscious. He knows who he is. He knows where he's at. But the people who meet him in hell will not know his name because he will be simply a blank name forever. His name is over. But Lazarus had a name because he went to the place where names are important, and we shall know who we are forever and ever and ever. Do you know that that's as important of a thought in this sermon as anything I can say? Is that the rich man had no name. His name had already been forgotten, but the poor man had a name because he belonged to God. Hallelujah. Praise that name of the Lord. I want to be remembered for who I am forever, and the only way is to serve my God with all of my heart. Boys and girls, your name will pass off the scene if you don't serve Christ and live for the Lord. But if you serve him, your name will never be forgotten. Hallelujah. So the rich man died, and in hell he lifted his eyes. Now it says in the verse before that verse, let me read it to you. And the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. I'm here to tell you, before the dirt was thrown in on his casket, if that's how they buried him, before that happened, he was already in hell. You know, I don't go to funerals. I don't go to funerals of other people that other preachers preach as a whole. Now, there's exceptions, but as a whole. Because I get so angry, I can hardly stand myself. I almost have to leave to keep from standing up in the midst of the crowd and calling that preacher a lying prophet. Because I hear them all the time if I try to go to one, and they're trying their best to make that family happy because they've got that man who had no time for God, and they're trying to get him in heaven. No preacher can get you to heaven. Only Jesus can get you to heaven. Oh, would you raise your hand and say hallelujah? No preacher can get you to heaven. Only Jesus can get you to heaven. That's about as good as I know how to say it. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you right now, your death don't change you. His death changes you. Now let me say that again. Your death don't change where you're going. His death alone can change where you're going when you die. Hallelujah. Would you trust him? Would you trust him with all of your heart, with all of your mind? Well, he was in hell immediately. Oh, how many times have you been to a sinner's funeral? And if you could just know what that poor old sinner was experiencing while the preacher is standing up there bragging and spewing out his false theologies. If you just knew, if you could just get a moment to smell the smoke, you would say, preacher, why are you doing that? You're just making these other people think they're okay, and you help and send them to hell. I'll never be guilty of that. I'm here to tell you, I may not get, I miss preaching a lot of funerals through the years because they wanted somebody who was smooth talking. And I guess I'm just not smooth talking. I do my best to make a funeral, and believe me, I will enjoy preaching Sister Newton's funeral. I'll be telling the truth, but I'll certainly look at your family, Brother Newton, and tell them they're not right with God. They're not going to see Mama again. No siree. No siree. You got to understand that. You really got to understand that. Well, the rich man died and lifted his eyes in hell, but Lazarus died and angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. I got to studying that this week and getting ready for this sermon, and I got excited to think about angels. When somebody dies, the angels come and take them to the heavenly place. Now you got to understand something. This is a sphere here where we are limited. We human beings cannot get out of this sphere, either physically or spiritually. We are limited. But an angel can come and take us to where we're going. And so you can believe that when people die, there are angels involved immediately. They're transported either to the place of happiness and joy, waiting on the Lord for the great day of the resurrection. See, now we're conscious. We don't go to Abraham's bosom. We go to heaven to be absent from the body. The Bible said is to be present with the Lord. It wasn't like that in the story Jesus was telling. Abraham's bosom was up a Sheol. But when Jesus went when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible said he went down to up a Sheol and spent 3 days and led that crowd in up a Sheol out of there and took them to heaven. And so now when a saint dies, they go straight to heaven. They don't have their body, but they've got their soul and they've got their spirit. You know something? When a man dies who's not right with God, his spirit goes back to God, but his soul goes to hell. And then he'll have a resurrected body that is a body of death, a body of sorrow, a body of judgment. And every sinner will be judged according to their sins. There are many, many, many multitude of degrees of suffering in hell. But to just be there will be bad enough to make anybody want to run to Calvary. I'm here to tell you. Everybody will suffer the flames of hell. Oh, what a picture. Now, there's so much there I could talk about. But I think I should move quickly to this word, torments. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Now think. Please don't dismiss this. Think. What kind of torments could a man or woman experience in hellfire? What are some of the torments? I got a list of them here. I'm going to have to go through them quickly because I don't have time to take a lot of time with each one. But I want you to hear them. Number one. Listen to this now. Number one. Listen, I want you to hear me. A soul that God created has this sense of being lost forever. A soul knowing that you are created in the likeness of God. Knowing that you were created that you might please the Heavenly Father. Knowing that you was created for something lofty and high and wonderful, second only to angels, to know that. And then to be right there in hell, knowing all of that is lost. All of that is over. I don't even have a name. I'm a no-name discard in the pits of hell. And later, in the flames of the lake of fire. A no-name. You've lost that sense of the soul that you were given from Almighty God. Or you still have a soul, but the sense of the value, the sense of the greatness, the sense of the marvel I don't know what you think. When I think about the marvel of an eternal soul, Jesus made the statement on one occasion, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Think about it. You are made with such value. You are so important. God gave his son to die on the cross for you. Jesus would have died if nobody needed to be saved but you. You can raise your hand right now if you would and say, he died just for me. Would you do that with me? He died just for me. Raise your hand high and say it loud. He died just for me. Oh, what a beautiful thing that is. Number two, completely out of the realm for which you were created. I almost said it in that first point, but I want to say it a little better, a little different. You'll be completely past the realm of life for which you were created. I don't think I can explain this. I think there is a loss that will occur. I think there is a sadness and a gloom that will occur at the moment of death to the wicked and to the unsaved. I think there's such a loss of value, such a loss of worth, such a loss of the highness of human life, such a loss of the creative energies and ingenuity of God. I think there's such a loss. Inexplainable as far as this preacher is concerned. I don't know the right word. I just know that you're somebody. You're very important. You've got great intellect. You've got great ability. You have beauty. You have purpose. You have a dream that God's laid out for you. The Bible tells me that God has predestined every one of us to greatness. God has predestined every one of us to be a saint. God has predestined every one of us to raise the heights of purpose and beauty. God has a value put on your life, and suddenly in hell that value will be eliminated. Forever gone. Oh, Tricia Tabor. Oh, hallelujah. Number three, there will be immediately. I don't know at what degrees these will happen. I think the torments will probably be in successions. I think you will have torments of one thing and then another and another. And as it passes down the realm of these torments, that you will lose things that you've just experienced in torments. And I think that there will be a loss of any sense of God. I think it will be in your soul within a short period of time that you're in hell that you won't even feel or know that there is a God somewhere, because you'll lose that utter sense of the greatness of God. This universe is God's universe. He made it. Heaven is his, earth is his, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. He's got a plan for this earth. He's going to turn it back into a Garden of Eden, even more beautiful than it was when Adam and Eve walked in that place that God created. I'm telling you, the plans and the dreams and the schemes and the prophecies that God's got in front of us in this Bible that are not yet fulfilled, but soon to be fulfilled. Oh, what a blessed day that's going to be. But you will move beyond the sense of that. It'll be an emptiness, indescribable emptiness. Then number four, a total loss of love. Every debauched soul, you'll see people and they'll look like they've been in hell a million years when you look at them. There'll be nothing but a toasted, tortured, miserable, wretched old character. And you'll look at them and you won't care a lick for them. There'll be no love. Love will be absent. Hell will be a place that literally love has been forgotten and love has long passed away. Oh, what a place of sorrow. Love will be over. Love will be over. Let me tell you something that got a hold of me this morning. I never thought about it. There'll never be a song sung in hell. Now look at me. There'll never be another song that you'll ever hear. Hell will have no songs. Song is a creation of God for worship. Song singing has no purpose but worship. If you're involved with rock and roll music, you're messing with the devil's music. If you're involved in country music, somebody's done gone and done me wrong, kind of fornication, illicit living, you're singing the devil's music. You don't want nothing to do with that music. I'm here to tell you, music is a creation of God. Music belongs to the Father. Music is a way and an attitude of worship. And if you go to hell, you'll never hear another song. Not country, not rock and roll. And certainly not Christian. You'll never hear another. You know, that got a hold of me. I love singing. How many love singing? How many love to sing? You love to hear singing? These young people, I know how crazy they are over music. And I guarantee you, I got a rock and roller here sitting here this morning probably. I don't know who he may be, but I'm telling you one thing. You better get that mess out of your life. I'm telling you, you better get that mess out of your life. The spirit of rock and roll is a spirit from hell. Do you hear me? It came from the devil. It's saturated with the music of hell and the attitudes of hell and the spirits of hell. But real music is a beautiful gift from heaven. Oh, there's nothing more beautiful than real music. Hallelujah. Isn't Sister Yvette doing her level best? Isn't she laying it out here for us? And thank God for it, Yvette. And thank God for this young ensemble that's going to sing tonight. I hope, I pray, I sure hope they can. Listen to me. I want to tell you, if you go to hell, you'll never hear another song. You'll never hear another song. That's enough to shake me to my foundation. It really is. You'll remember every Christian you ever knew that was really real. You'll remember those Christians. It will torment you to think of that blessed old saint who loved you and prayed for you and told you she was praying for you. He told you he was praying for you, and you rejected and you refused and you didn't listen. Maybe it was your wife that tried her best to get you to God and you wouldn't listen. Or maybe your husband tried to get you to God and you wouldn't listen. Or maybe mothers or dads or whatever, and you'll remember those good Christians that really had it. I'm here to tell you, I pray to God that not one of my grandbabies go to hell. But they do. They'll remember that beautiful mother, grandmother, sitting right there in front of me. They'll remember the beauty of her life and the love of her service and the devotion of her walk with God. Oh, what a day. What a day. Remember every Christian. You will remember every sermon you ever heard from the Word of God that you really heard. You'll remember that sermon. You'll remember that sermon. You'll remember those words of the Holy Scripture. I was thinking this morning when I woke up, I was still in the bed, and I was thinking about preaching the gospel and what a joy it is to preach the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. Holy, holy, hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, raise your hand and thank him for the gospel this morning. Thank him for the word of God this morning. The truth of this. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What a God and what a gospel we've got. And you'll remember it. You'll remember it. Oh, you'll remember every sermon you've ever heard. You'll remember when you sit in church on Sunday morning, September the 7th. Thank you, but I grabbed it the same time you said it. You remember sitting in church hearing a sermon and hearing you'd never hear another song. And you said, well, I got some dreams. I got some things I'm planning. If I go to that altar, that preacher gets his hand on my head and those saints begin to pray for me, I'm not going to get to live those dreams I got. I'll tell you something. Whatever your dream is without God, it's not really a dream. It's not really a dream. It's a foul thing. And you better get rid of it. And you better let the Holy Ghost replace it with his plan. Because he's got a plan for you. I'm here to tell you, he's got a plan for every one of you. Do you hear me this morning? He's got a plan. You have been literally planned. He has planned your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's got a wife for you guys. He's got a husband for you girls. And you choose your own. And you may wish you'd never seen him or her. But you choose whom God sends you. Watch out for the beauty of life that comes with a man and woman who loves God together. Hallelujah. Remember when you said no to God? And you'll especially remember the last time you said no to God. Torments. I am tormented in these flames. Send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and cool my parching tongue. And Abraham said, sorry, long ways between these two places. I want to tell you right now, you listen to me, it's a long ways between heaven and hell. Does anybody know that? It's a long ways between heaven and hell. And I want you to know, when you get to either one of those places, you aren't going to the other place. You aren't going to make it across that great divide. I promise you that. And that makes it very clear. Well, this man in his torments could remember his family. And he said to Abraham, would you send Lazarus or somebody, go tell my brothers, don't come to this horrible place. And you know what the Lord said through this great message? He said, if they won't hear the prophets, they won't hear somebody, though they come back from the dead. Get a song ready for me here, if you would, please. Come to the piano, brother. Brother Ed, listen to me. I want you to hear me. When I think of unsaved people, I've been praying that God would help me weep like I've never wept for unsaved people. I don't think through the years maybe I've had enough compassion for unsaved people. And I'm believing God to give me such a passion for unsaved people that I can't pray without weeping, that I can't preach without weeping, that my soul cries out. Now, I don't know who's unsaved in this building. I'm sure there's somebody. Maybe you're a Christian and you're kind of a lighthearted Christian and you've been real careless about it and you don't have to go to church and you don't have no commitment to the way of God and the way of Christ. Either way, wherever you are, whether you're unsaved or you're backslid or you're indifferent and cold and calloused or even if you're on fire for God, I want to get your attention this morning and I want to make you understand that you don't have to go there and that you can go to a place that's sunshine forever. You can go to a place where singing will fill the atmosphere and there'll be 1,000 choirs and 10,000 choirs. There'll be bands innumerable. There'll be music so melodious and so breathtaking that you'll find yourself wafting your way through heaven with such heavenly joy. Hallelujah. You just don't know what happiness is until you pass beyond this veil of tears. Somebody raise a hand. I'm telling you, there's joy awaiting us beyond all that. Woo, hallelujah. I'm enjoying being a Christian, but I'm going to enjoy something bigger than that version. Now raise your hand and just pray with me. Father, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody lost. Careless, away from God. And he's calling you home this morning. Hallelujah. Everybody praying with me. Everybody praying with me. I want to tell you something, church. It's never been so precarious. The coming of the Lord could happen today. Would you stand? Would you stand? Oh, God, embrace my help. I want you just to bow your head, close your eyes. I want to do something here, and I don't want nobody looking but me. I want you worshiping. I want you praying. Anybody in this building, anybody that you're not ready to meet God, you're not sure of your salvation, you're not certain that you're ready to go to heaven, every other hand down, please. But if you're one of those not certain, would you raise your hand right up so I can pray for you? I want to pray for you. You're not certain. You're not absolutely sure. Raise your hand up high. You're not absolutely sure. All right, I see four hands. Not absolutely sure. Not absolutely sure. Anybody else? I'm not sure. I want to know this morning. I want to get in this altar and I want to pray till I know I'm saved. Raise your hand and hold it up. All right, church, I need you to pray. We've got several hands in this building. We've got several hands in this building. We got several people not sure. You're not sure. Sing, Yvette. I want everybody praying while she sings. And those who raise their hand, step out from your seat and come quickly to the altar. Come quickly. I'm not sure, but I want to be sure. Come. In the name of the Lord. Just step out and move. Don't wait for somebody else. Thy blood was shed for me. Are you praying, church? Thank God. Someone comes. Come right on, little lady. Just obey God, your own heart. Oh, Lamb. Anybody. I come. Hallelujah. God bless you, young people. Just come right here and find you a place to kneel, and some good saint will kneel beside you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just kneel right here, young people. I'm coming. I'm coming. I got to know that I know that I know that I know. Listen to me, church. Are you hearing me? A little volume. I got to know that I know that I know that I know. Oh, Lamb. Oh, Lamb. I come. I'm running. If I was you and I wasn't sure, I'd run out of that seat. I'd run out of that seat. I'd run out of that seat. I need some prayer warriors. Find somebody here to pray with. Don't stand back there if you know how to pray, saints. Come find somebody to pray with. We want to pray till these children know, till these young people know. God bless you, young man. Just kneel right there and give it to God. I'm coming. I got to know. I got to know. I got to know. I got to know. Now I want everybody in this building to find a place to pray. Everybody in this building, please don't stand back there. I want a deeper move of God in my life. Find a place at this altar and get on your knees, or come pray with somebody. Come pray with somebody. Visitors, just make yourself at home.